want to dance, right? It's a song most of us learned as kids, and it's still a classic. We still sing it at confirmation camp today, but we do it with a little more pep, such as hide it under a bushel. Are you crazy? I'm gonna let it shine. It's a lot of fun. It's fun to sing about shining our light in this world and knowing that this song is based on the words of Jesus. When Jesus in our gospel today said, "You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." You've probably noticed, if you've been around church for a while, that we hear a lot about light and darkness. Part of the reason for that is because as Christians, we are called to be the light to the world. It is a very important job that we all have. We know the light of Jesus, the light that shines in the darkness, the light that nothing on earth can put out. Close your eyes for a minute. It's dark, right? But my eyes are open, and I can still see that the light is shining. The lights in our sanctuary, and the sun outside. You can open your eyes now. Remember this time, that even when we close our eyes, even when we turn away from God, when we can't see the light shining around us, that it is still there. There isn't anything we can do to put that light out, because that light comes from God, not from us. Frederick Buechner, one of my favorite theologians or people who talks about God, says this about light. We can't see light itself. We can only see what the light lights up. Like a little circle of night where the candle flickers, and we can see the sheen of a mahogany dresser, or a wine glass, or a face leaning towards us out of the shadows. When Jesus says that he is the light of the world, maybe something like that is a part of what he's saying. He himself is beyond our seeing. But the darkness in which we live, we see him. We see him there, thanks to God. Thanks to this, him lighting up just a little bit of the path that stretches out before us. Did you ever have a nightlight? Or maybe you still do. Or maybe you just leave a light on, something to help you see in the dark when you have to get up in the middle of the night. God's light can be a little bit like that. Something that brings us comfort. Something that guides us. Something that shows us the next step, if only the next step and not the whole path. Even though we are probably much more likely to say we're afraid of the dark, if we're honest, we can be afraid of the light, too. We are afraid to let our light shine. We worry about how shining our light will affect others. We don't want to make them feel bad, or maybe we don't want to appear too religious or religious at all. But we are God's children, called to be the light of God in the world. We have a special candle that we light when we do baptisms. It's called the Christ candle. It's a symbol of the light that we receive from God. And after we're baptized, somebody, usually me or Pastor Paul, says the words of Jesus from Matthew that we heard today as we light the candle for the newly baptized. We say, "Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." The good things we do in this world are not for our glory. They are for God's glory. In Isaiah, we're reminded of that pretty honestly when God says, and the people say to God, "Why do we fast, but you do not see? Why humble ourselves, but you do not notice?" And then God says, "Look, you are serving your own interests on your fast day, on your worship day, and oppressing all your workers." Isaiah is reminding God's people that if we don't pay attention to the reasons why we do something, we are missing the point. God has high expectations for us. It's useless to pretend to follow God, to put on a show, if what we're doing is harming other people. Particularly, God says, those who are vulnerable. God wants us to be sure to care for the poor, the hungry, and the homeless. And when we do that, our light won't just shine. Listen to these beautiful words from Isaiah, some of the most descriptive, I think, in Scripture. Then your light shall break forth like the dawn. Then your light shall rise in the darkness, and your gloom be like the noonday. So the worst part of our lives will be like the brightest part of the day. When we care for others, our light bursts out of the darkness and breaks those chains of injustice. What we do affects others. Sometimes we have to get creative to let our light shine. When the world says no, we must still find a way to follow God. The world may say we should hide our light under a bushel. The world may say profit and success are the most important things. It doesn't matter what we do to our workers. But the Bible tells us that our relationship with the poorest among us directly affects the way our light shines. Dallas Willard, who's a Christian writer, says the gospel is less about how to get into the kingdom of heaven after you die, and more about how to live in the kingdom of heaven before you die. Heaven sounds pretty good to us most of the time, doesn't it? Especially on a cold Wisconsin winter day. But bringing the kingdom of God here on earth, letting our light shine, can get us into some trouble, can get us a little side eye, can get us into some hot water. Just ask any pastor who's gotten in trouble for some of the things that we've said or done. As we know all too well, Jesus faces challenges as he brought God's love and light into the world. The Pharisees that he calls righteous in today's gospel challenged his teaching. Satan tried to blow his light out by tempting him with false promises of greatness. Jesus was tried and killed by the very people he came to save. But Jesus came to shine God's light, even in his death and in our death too. Death can't even put out the light of Christ. But what Jesus warns us against in our gospel today is letting our light fade or be diminished. He warns us against losing our edge, like salt losing its flavor, or like a light that's covered up. Don't let anyone cover up who God created you to be. You are light. You are salt. As the kids say, stay lit and stay salty. And if you don't know what that means, lit is kind of a word for amazing. It's awesome. It's great. And salty is kind of a word for irritated or angry. And we need a little bit of irritation and anger with how things are to have the motivation to live God's truth sometimes, to speak out against oppression and injustice, to have the amazing courage to let our light shine in those ways and those places that Isaiah named. Following Jesus is not easy. The Israelites had trouble with it. We still struggle today. But through our Savior Jesus, we are given that light to shine and not to hide, but to hold up so all the world can see the grace of God. So how do we do that? A few ideas for you, but I hope it's something you will think about as you go this week. Looking at what Isaiah tells us, it made me think about how I spend my money. Where do I shop? Do I go to places that treat their staff and laborers well? We probably know a little bit about that. We hear about that sometimes in our world today. So this is something for us to think about. Where do we spend our money, and how do those people treat their employees? A very much smaller way to shine light. Do you know somebody who's sick? I bet you do. There's a lot of stuff going around right now, just kind of viruses and things. And of course, we always know people who are going through bigger health struggles as well. Send them a card. Let them know you're thinking of them, praying for them, and that they have not been forgotten. We can share our faith through our words and our deeds. how we live our lives, how we speak, just not being afraid to let the light of God shine through us every day. And not letting other people dull our light. Because sometimes when people see others shining brightly, their instinct, because of their own pain, is to kind of try to put that light out or cover it up. But stand strong, knowing that you are God's light, and there is nothing that can change that or put that out. You are a child of God. Forgive others as you have been forgiven. Last week when we talked about the Lord's Prayer, we heard about that petition of the Lord's Prayer. Forgiveness is a way that we make God's light brighter in this world. And we all need to give and receive forgiveness. Isaiah specifically mentions sharing your food with the hungry and caring for the poor. And that's something we have lots of opportunities to do here at Grace. With our blessings bags coming up during Lent, with our donations for Family Promise and our One Can plan, and just being Family Promise here at Grace. Volunteer. We need more volunteers, people to come and be with the families, people to help that program run smoothly. So the next time our host week comes up, please consider becoming a Family Promise volunteer. And of course, we always have to remember that these things we do are not about us, but about God. God, our creator, God, the source of our light, God, who is our hope in this world. We do things because of God and not for ourselves. So I encourage you to think this week about some concrete ways to shine God's light through your life and your care for others in this world. Amen.